What's so important about March 10th? Approved on March 13th, 1990 as a national holiday, March 10th is officially Harriet Tubman Day. A Civil War hero and abolitionist, Harriet Tubman is someone worth remembering. I'm Stephanie Funt, and I have decided to share my research report with you in honor of the date. 7-year-old Minty nodded her head and slumped in her chair. The flickering oil lamp was the only light in the cabin. As she nodded off, the dark lump in the cradle beside her stirred. Jerking upward, Minty silently peeped over the side of the cradle. The tiny figure pushed and wriggled in the blanket bundle. "Oh, no," Minty deliberated. A tiny moan surfaced from the infant as Minty immediately began to coo and rock the cradle. But this didn't work. Scooping the baby up, she stood and started to pace the room while bouncing. However, try as she might to comfort the baby, it began to bawl and wail aloud, vigorously kicking its feet. Loud footsteps emerged from the bedroom as Miss Susan, in her night clothes and cap, materialized in the doorway. "You girl, what have I told you time and time again? It's as simple as this. Every time the baby cries, you get the whippin'. Come here. Yes, you, you mindless girl." Stiffening where she stood, Minty remembered the ruthless scars on her back. Abruptly, the woman lunged at her, but Minty rapidly set the baby in the crib and darted out the door to the shelter of the woods. She lived with the pigs in a pig pen for 5 days and returned only when she was desperate for food. She was named Moses. She was a conductor on the Underground Railroad and an early woman suffragist. She was a secret spy and an officer for the Union Army, undeniably fighting not only on the battlefield but also for what she believed in. Harriet Tubman, a short woman with mighty muscles and fierce eyes, was the most famous conductor on the Underground Railroad. Often in men's clothing, she snuck over 300 slaves to freedom. Born as a slave, whose parents could not read or write, she was so insignificant and unimportant to most people that no one bothered to write down exactly what year she was born in. Running to freedom in her late 20s, she went back for her family and became a conductor on the Underground Railroad. While she later helped in the war effort, Harriet also helped any black person who needed aid. She struggled for what she believed in until she died. Even though her parents wanted to spare their child the back-breaking work in the field, Minty, as she was known, was not a timid house slave. Instead, even at a young age, Minty wasn't afraid of putting her foot down, and that stubbornness meant that she was sent to work in the fields. Born around 1820, Arminta Ross, along with her family, was the property of a plantation owner in Maryland named Edward Brodus. Her parents, who were named Ben and Harriet Ross, were captured from the Ashanti tribe in Africa and had 11 children. As a 6-year-old, Minty was hired out by her master to harsh people who couldn't afford to buy slaves of their own. Unsympathetically, her employers dubbed and labeled her with names such as stupid and stubborn, and she was returned to her parents and sent to work outside. Minty much preferred to work outdoors. When Minty was 13, she witnessed a slave trying to escape. Dave and Netta Jackson tell one version of this huge event in Harriet's life. The runaway tried to hide in a little country store at the crossroads, but the overseer went in after him. "You girl," the angry overseer shouted at Harriet when she appeared in the doorway. "Help me tie this man up." Harriet didn't move. Realizing she was giving him a chance, the slave darted past Harriet and started to run. In an effort to stop him, the overseer grabbed a 2-pound weight and threw it at the runaway. But in that moment, Harriet stepped in the way. The weight struck her full in the forehead, knocking her backward. She was unconscious for days, then she slipped in and out of stupor for months. After almost dying from the head-knocking incident, she had occasional violent headaches and sleeping spells where she would black out for several minutes at a time for the rest of her life. Recognizing more how horribly despicable slavery was, she later remarked, "I think slavery is the next thing to hell." Even at a young age, Harriet stood up against slavery. Like Moses in the Bible, Harriet first had to run away before she could help to save her people. Her free husband threatened to report her to her master if she ever tried to run away, so she didn't speak to her husband anymore, but the idea never left her mind. When she was 29, her master died, and Harriet left her husband to avoid being sold. Silently, she crept away with only a patchwork quilt, which she had sewn with difficulty because she was used to working outside instead of sewing. During her escape, she sometimes stopped at safe houses on the Underground Railroad, where people hid and fed her. She was so grateful to one of the people that she gave him her quilt. She traveled 90 miles. When she finally arrived in Pennsylvania, she remarked, "There was such a glory over everything. The sun came like gold through the trees and over the fields, and I felt like I was in heaven." She started to cook at a hotel, but soon felt the urge to retrieve her family. She traveled down to the south to rescue her sister's family right out of the auction pens. After that, she made 19 trips and brought over 300 slaves to freedom. On one of her most famous journeys, a panicky man wanted to turn back, but Harriet pulled a pistol and stated, "Move or die." Soon, this conductor had helped so many slaves that slave owners posted a $40,000 reward for her. Afterwards, she confirmed, "I never run my train off track, and I never lost a passenger." Because she helped so many and never let one of her passengers get caught, she became known as the Moses of her people. After the Underground Railroad, Harriet didn't stop working for her people. During the war effort, Harriet became a nurse in a Union hospital. Her knowledge of the terrain came in handy when the Union asked her to spy on the Confederates. Astonishingly, she was in charge of 300 men in 1863 who successfully raided Confederate supplies, which made her the only woman to lead forces in the Civil War. After the war, she married a young war veteran named Nelson Davis, who was 24 years her junior. She opened her home to any black person who needed help. Two books were written by Sarah Bradford to help support Harriet's home. They were The Scenes in the Life of Harriet Tubman, and later, Harriet Tubman, the Moses of her people. She was steadfast in her work. Always short on money, she additionally sold vegetables to help support poor blacks. She would often narrate stories to the people who would stop by her house. Some of her stories recounted Civil War battles. "And then we saw the lightning, and that was the guns. And then we heard the rain falling, and that was the drops of blood falling. And when we came to get the crops, it was dead man that we reaped." She soon became renowned and recognized, and Queen Victoria even sent her a letter, a medal, and a black silk shawl. Her last cause was women's rights, and so she directed, "Tell the women to stand together." Harriet died of pneumonia at 93, a month after she had said this. Even at the end of her life, Harriet toiled for her people. Not surprisingly, many people's lives were greatly affected or changed for the better because of Harriet's life's work. During a campaign in 1998 for the restoration of Harriet's home, Hillary Clinton called Tubman a symbol of the enduring spirit of this nation. Surviving slavery in her early life, she courageously ran away and risked her life to help her desperate race. After that, she continued to serve others until her death. However, in all her efforts, she fought for what she believed in. Helping slaves escape, she risked her life again and again. She worked. She struggled. She fought for what she believed in.